Welcome to All Sides with Dan Fisher. About 3 weeks ago, talk of the Ohio State University marching band revolved largely around anticipation for the coming season. Last fall, the best damn band in the land wowed Buckeye fans and detractors alike with its amazing feats of fancy on the field. The man behind the magic, however, has been fired after an OSU investigation found what administrators called a culture of sexualization that pervaded the organization. Since then, the band has been talk of not just the town, but also the nation when John Waters appeared on the Today Show to defend his honor. He joins us now in the studio to talk about the past, present, and future of the Ohio State University Marching Band and his role going forward. Welcome back to the show, John Waters.
Thank you, Ann. Good morning, and thanks for allowing me the opportunity.
I wanted to first talk about your history with the band, how long you've been with the band, to just kind of do a scene setter. It's been since 1995. You tried out. You were cut the first year. And 94, and then 95, you made the band. You're a tuba player from Elmore, Ohio. When you started back in 1995, then, you knew you were indoctrinated yourself into this culture. What did you perceive it to be at that time?
Well, you know, to begin, I'm a son of Ohio. My relationship with the Ohio State Marching Band goes back many, many years to when I was in seventh grade and I saw the band for the first time, and I was just in love with it. I loved every aspect of the band when I saw it. And, you know, that story is so repeated every year with new students, new kids that come to Ohio Stadium and see the band for the first time. And so I was just one of those many who saw the band and aspired to be in it. I didn't even play the right instrument when I started. I had to switch to the tuba.
Okay.
I wanted to dot the I. I had that lofty goal as a young man, and so with my father, mother supporting me and saying, yeah, sure, go for it, and so I did, and I began a journey with the Ohio State Marching Band that still continues today. I will say that in 1994, I tried out for the band and I was cut, and I think that uniquely qualifies me to up to a couple of weeks ago lead the organization, because I had the empathy and the personal story to look 250 other students in the eye every year and say, I'm sorry, but this year is not your year yet. But if you stick with it, you will. And I tell them my personal story and my personal journey. And really the relationship from there was one of really a storybook. You know, I didn't start at Ohio State as a music major, but I then switched majors when I made the band. I dedicated myself to education, music education, and to the education of students. And I was fortunate to be accepted to a graduate assistant position with the band, and then was very fortunate to then have been hired as the assistant director. After that, I was again tremendously fortunate to be hired as the director some 21 months ago, 22 months ago, and it's been a storybook journey, and unfortunately, today we're talking about this issue, and I'm here to set the record straight.
You have a lot of supporters out there, that's clear. But there's also a lot of people who, even though they support you and don't necessarily agree with what the university did, were shocked, many disturbed by what they learned through the report. You've said that the report is not completely accurate. It does not fully flesh out the true culture of the band, but there is the songbook, which includes hundreds of lyrics that I can't even repeat on the air. There are lots of events that take place with the band, traditions that a lot of people find untoward. Was that the way it was when you started? And do you think that you just don't think it's that shocking anymore because it's kind of what you grew up with?
No, not at all. You know, so let me begin by saying harassment of any type is not acceptable. And
But harassment is in the eye of the beholder, too.
Well, I think harassment in the eyes of like-minded people. You know, if we as a society think that something is inappropriate, it's inappropriate. And so I did grow up in a band culture that was that had aspects to it when I was a student that were unacceptable. And that, I think, uniquely qualified me to make the changes that I did as director. And so there were things that happened, when I was a student that were not acceptable. Some might say that the students... behaviors that were acceptable in the 1990s, if that's even acceptable, are acceptable today, and certainly they're not. Some of the things that happened in the 90s were part of the culture then. And I will say, too, and I'll be specific in a moment, but I will say that this is an entrenched culture. This culture dates back to the 1930s, all right? And so over the years, you had people that were in the band prior to World War II. They went to fight in World War II, and they came back with a totally different world experience. And that contributed to the culture. You had students who fought in Vietnam and in that conflict and then came back to the band.
And both of those eras, mm-hmm. it was male-only organization.
It was until 1973, mm-hmm. and I think that was the best decision that was made. That women were welcomed into the band. In fact, last season we celebrated the first five women and the first female drum major and the first female eye daughter upon 40 years of being admitted to the band. We celebrated those women and those pioneers who really broke through that ceiling and were members of the band.
You're listening to All Sides with Dan Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. My guest is Jonathan Waters, former OSU marching band director. So things that were maybe accepted in the 90s, not accepted now. Can you give me an example of what that would be?
Yeah, I remember a time on a bus ride where there were a bunch of us who piled into the bathroom of a bus. And that affected me. Behavior affected me. And so
you felt uncomfortable?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so that is why I think, again, I was uniquely qualified to change the culture. And so that's exactly what I began to do, and to understand my philosophy of culture change is to understand my methodology of doing such as director. And I think this is a very important point to get across. I feel that fear tactics and leadership through intimidation is not what we should do as leaders of an organization. And so when you lead through fear, when you lead through intimidation, it forces, I believe, some cultural aspects to go underground. Take, for instance, what is mentioned in this report is this triptych, which was a kind of an underground newsletter that was offensive to some students. And so when I intercepted that
as assistant director, as director?
No, as director, right. In my first year as director, I said I dealt with it in two ways. Number one, I was a bit heavy-handed about it, and I said, this will not happen again, period. End of story. And I did find one of the authors of something in it, and I took disciplinary action. We and our staff took disciplinary action against that student. But then instead of just leaving it after, saying thou shalt, we had an open conversation with the band. And we said, students, look, this is not the way we treat people. This is not the way we treat each other. We are more about respect. We are more about the team. And when somebody on the team shows disrespect to another person, that is not acceptable. And so that is one aspect of the culture change that I think is important to note.
So you wanted to use it as a teaching moment too.
Absolutely. Everything we do is a teachable moment. And then couple that with my overriding philosophy that because intimidation and leadership through fear is not acceptable, that the true change comes from the students. And this is key. All my time with the Ohio State Band, as we've instituted change, as we have instituted the great cultural shaping that we have done, it all comes from the students. You have to realize as a student that there is a need for change. And that's what really I think my job and the job of our staff is to do, is we hold up a mirror for all of us to look in and we say, Are we past this? Is this something that we should be doing? And you plant those seeds. And then you get the student leadership on board. And you say to the leadership, you know, this is something that we have to change. And the students have great open conversation. And it's transparent. It's on the surface. Everybody is comfortable with that conversation. And then we move to a point where, okay, we're going to eliminate this behavior, and all of the student leadership sign on to that. They own the problem. Mm-hmm. When you get students to own the problem, that is the best culture shaping and culture change that I can think of. And so when the students own the problem, they become the solution to that problem. And we've demonstrated that on so many occasions with the band as we've changed the culture.
If this has been going on, if those issues have occurred over and over going back, particularly, let's say, post-World War II and on, was it an open secret, or did the university administrators know about the band culture before and never did anything about it? When you were an assistant band director, mm-hmm. did you talk with the band director? Did you talk with your, predecessor now about it, and what actions were taken as you moved up in leadership?
Yes, that's a great question, because as assistant director, I dealt a lot with individual students and their issues. I think the students felt comfortable in coming to me with issues, and so then I would take those issues to the director. At the time, the director was in charge of all personnel decisions and all band policy, and certainly I helped to shape that policy, but I was not the ultimate authority in that band policy. But the change really came when I was the director. Certainly as assistant director, we took steps together as student leaders and a staff to change culture. And one of the things, for instance, I remember doing as assistant director was to put together a leadership manual for the squad leaders. That had never been done before, a book, a binder, which had leadership training in it, had harassment training, hazing training, alcohol stuff, as well as general things about the band and running the band and the kind of the day-to-day activities. And so that was, as assistant director, one of the things that I did to, again, shape the culture. As director, that was the time that I could really start to shape the culture. You know, I had always thought, for instance, that the band staff was too small. And so we were able to bring in kind of another person to help out. There was no administrative assistant for the band. All right. So, phone calls, emails, all of that. There was nobody doing that. And still actually currently, I don't think there is. And so that was one of the things that we worked on. Systematically, the structure of the band I began to look at and try to change, as well as the culture. And you look at this, and this is all linked. I mean, this is all under the umbrella of the band and the culture and the operation, whether we have resources for people to answer the phones, whether we have resources for people to manage the finances, we have resources for training and student enrichment. All of those things, as well as the shows on the field, all of that is linked inexorably. And so that is the work that I set about doing. Now, I'm not here to say that the job was done, but the job was definitely in progress, and the band was a better place because of it.
My guest is Jonathan Waters, former OSU marching band director. We'll continue our conversation. This is All Sides with Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides. I'm your host, Ann Fisher. My guest this hour is Jonathan Waters, former OSU marching band director. He was fired recently when a report was released that suggested there was a culture of sexuality in the organization that had pervaded the organization. If you have any questions or comments for John Waters, you can give us a call, 614-292-8513. Please let the screener know right away if you support the university's decision to fire John Waters or if you don't, just so that we can make sure we have enough balance in the program. You can also email us at allsides@wosu.org. Lots of people across the country from other marching bands have said that this is nothing out of the ordinary, what was going on with the OSU band. And I wondered, and people have suggested to me, oh, it probably starts in high school. I can say personally, although I'm older, that that certainly wasn't the culture in marching band when I was in high school. But do you think that this is typical band behavior? What was reported in the what was revealed in the report? Do you think it was typical? And how do you respond to those suggestions that, you know, kids will be kids?
You know, the only thing I can comment on is the fact that we have a certain culture in our band. And, you know, I'm not going to comment on whether this exists with other groups, because every group is certainly different. All I know is the culture that I was responsible for. And I stand by the shaping and the change that we implemented on it.
Were you expecting, when the investigation started almost 3 months ago now, it would have been, what did you make of it at the time when they were interviewing you? What did you expect from it?
You know, I don't know, really. I guess looking back in the initial investigation, because the initial complaint, I think apparently was a student complaint about me, about how, you know, I didn't, you know, perhaps, you know, embrace a complaint that a student had made. And so that was the initial investigation. And there was nothing really that I knew at the time about the band culture being investigated. And so it does turn out that, you know, that there was a student complaint issued to me last season
that
there was an incident at an off-campus party. And what I feel very, very good about is that the student came with their squad leaders to report this to me. So I felt that the system of communication and the openness, and again, a demonstration of the culture of the band, this student felt that it was acceptable to go to their squad leaders, and the squad leaders with the student came to report this to me. And, you know, I offered all the support that I could in terms of, you know, filing a police report, filing any kind of, you know, complaint. But I said, what I must do is report this to the university. And I did that. And the university investigated the student issue and did take action against, you know, somebody, you know, that they investigated. And I feel that, and I was told as such by the university, that we dealt with that in an exemplary manner. And so back to the investigation, I didn't know initially that they were investigating band culture.
Was it something that they learned in the original original complaint that spurred the further investigation?
You know, I'm not sure. The initial complaint was a specific complaint, which then apparently ballooned into this entire investigation of the band culture. And I think that's where the report goes wrong, in that, one, its sample size was much too small. You know, four students of 240 and four additional people from the alumni of a population of 4,000, over 4,000 alumni band members. And so the sample size was wrong. Also, the complainant who made the initial complaint got to name the witnesses. you know, we just found out yesterday, for instance, that somebody came forward who was interviewed in this process and said, these are not my words. This is not what I said to the interviewer. This is factually incorrect information, lending further support that this report is flawed.
OSU has said that you were not very forthcoming in your first interview, but that in your second, and I guess there were a total of two interviews.
There were.
Mm-hmm. Where you admitted you had yelled at students, that you'd changed. Did something in your mind change, or was it a different interview in your head and that you're just responding to a different set of questions? That work?
Yeah, the tale of two interviews, basically. The first interview was very general, really recounting the incidents around the two students. Mm-hmm. The second interview became much more about the band culture. And in fact, the questions were much more pointed about the band culture and not about the initial incident. And so, certainly the tenor of that interview was more tense the second time. And I just really questioned, where this all was coming from. Because, again, you go back to the report and many of the things that I talked about. I mean, I gave a recounting of my philosophy of culture change that I just talked to you about. None of that made the report. I gave a written document which outlined all of the things that we had done with culture change, with shaping, with training, and that was also excluded from the report. For instance, let's take this. In the band for many, many years, I felt that there was a caste system where the younger members were made to serve the older members. The younger members, this came to light when I saw some younger members standing outside of a bus and we were ready to leave. And I said, come on, guys, let's get on the bus. And they said, well, we've got to wait until all of the older people are on the bus.
Was this the case when you were in the band?
Yes, it was, and I when I was director, I saw this happen, and I said, no, we're going to change this, and so we flipped this whole paradigm on its head and said, I want the student leadership to be the servant leaders. I want to train the new students with our very best and most senior leaders. And so we flipped this caste system on its head, and we started to have the older people teaching and mentoring and serving the younger people. And that worked absolute wonders, I think, for the mutual respect and all the things that were in the band. And so we last year took our student leaders to a place in Dayton called Aileron, who does corporate training and culture shaping. And, I had great time with the facilitator ahead of time about what we wanted to accomplish and what cultural things we wanted to shape. And so we introduced this servant leadership to the band and to the leadership team. And I think it really worked very, very well last season.
Was that in the report?
No, unfortunately not, and that's the problem with the report. And is that so much of this information that I gave in my interview, and I think others corroborated, was not written in the report. And so, my employment status was based solely on this report. So you read this report and you think, oh, my goodness, there's this culture. The report talks about this secret oath. In its opening lines, and the secret oath was a really it talked about being a good citizen, keeping up a good public image, being a good listener, obeying squad leaders and the directors of the band, and it also the outline of this quote unquote secret oath was, and I will never ever cross the street without looking both ways. And so, you know, there was a bit of tongue in cheek to it as well. But you read this report and you think, oh, secret oath, you know, this is, and you read all these antics and these things, you know, the songbook. I haven't seen a songbook around the band in years and years. The songbook was last dated 2006. There are students in the band today who said, what songbook? I have no idea what this is.
My guest is Jonathan Waters, former OSU marching band director. You're listening to All Sides with Dan Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. So at any point, were you expecting to be fired?
No, this was a complete shock to me.
What are your plans going forward?
You know,
are you planning on suing the university, for example?
No, you know, I don't want to sue Ohio State. I love Ohio State. I love my friends and colleagues that I worked so closely with, and I especially love the students and the alums. And that's why I'm here. I'm here to stand up for those students and for the alums who were made to be some kind of Animal House fraternity, some kind of out of control group of individuals by this report. And that is why I am here. That's why I'm standing up, because the community knows, the students who are in the band currently, the students who are alums of the band, they read this report and they say, this is not the band we know. This is not what I was a part of. And so that's why I think we see this groundswell of community support coming behind us, because they know what the band has meant to them and what the band has done over the years.
Former state legislator, state auditor, and attorney general Betty Montgomery has been appointed, and she's doing this pro bono to lead a committee to review the band culture.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been contacted by them yet?
I have not.
Pat in Upper Arlington, you're on the air with John Walters. Hi, Pat.
Yes, I just wanted to say I think John is so articulate, and I admire him for speaking out and actually bringing this whole issue before the nation. I'm among all the people that think there was a rush to judgment, and I did hear about the letter that someone had just mailed to the university saying she was misquoted. I don't think that he was given, a fair trial among. I would, if I were a donor to the university, I would think very seriously about giving to the university until, and what I think is unconscionable is that John is going around speaking out, and you don't hear anybody from the university, from the president on down, or the members of the board, even raising a voice, even answering questions. Mm-hmm. I just feel this is just unbelievable, and I do think things have changed. Think about the days that Woody Hayes not only yelled at people, he punched his football players, and we let him get away with all of this, and everybody said, oh, well, that's
not quite. He didn't get away with it.
Well, he didn't get away with it because he finally punched somebody from another team.
Right.
But as I say, things have changed, and what we used to consider acceptable isn't. But I guess the main thing that upsets me is that people in the higher levels of the university are not speaking out, and I think that this is very objectionable.
Pat, thanks for your call.
Mm-hmm.
Take care. By the way, listeners, we did, of course, request the university participate in the conversation today or participate in a separate conversation to talk about this, and they declined the request because they have these pending reviews out there. If you have a question or comment, you can give us a call, 614-292-8513. We have an email from a listener who writes, I teach college. If my students behaved in the ways documented in the report, I would have to make that stop immediately in the classroom. I would also enlist the support of my superiors in this effort. Why should you be held to a different standard? Are band kids just that incapable of acting with maturity? They need a process?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think that you know, at any time when one recognizes that there is, you know, some kind of misbehavior, we have to take action. And my record at Ohio State has been indeed that of taking action. When there are problems that arise, when there are issues that are brought to our attention, we absolutely take action. With the Ohio State Marching Band, compared, for instance, maybe to a classroom setting, the Ohio State Marching Band is indeed a classroom, but the students spend so much time together. We spend so much rehearsal hours, so much time. The students are great friends and spend time outside of band together. They live with one another. They take the same classes together. They are great friends. You know, many of them wind up getting married. You know, and I'm a direct result of that. I found my wonderful wife in the band, and we were married, and that story is so prevalent. And so with that, and with the amount of time that is spent together, issues can pop up because we're so familiar with one another, and there's such a sense of team and such a sense of spirit and pride. And so indeed, we should not be held to any different standard than anyone else. And you know, we in fact hold ourselves to higher standards in terms of performance, in terms of respect. You know, think of it this way. All of the wonderful things that happened on the field, all of the wonderful things that we saw musically or heard musically and saw visually happening, that does not happen without a mutual respect amongst the students. If there is really this air of negative culture and disrespect, the students wouldn't perform that well together. We wouldn't have the time in rehearsal to put these things together because we were dealing with all these issues off the field. And so, you know, the culture of the band, while certain aspects of it did need to change, I recognized it. And what is interesting to note here is that no one from the university, when I started, said, there's a problem here and you need to change it. We realized that there were issues, certain issues in the culture, and we set about to change those issues ourselves.
Had anyone ever approached your predecessor to make changes along the lines of what you say you've worked on since you took over 22 months ago?
You know, I think I don't know the answer to that.
Did you ever try to talk to him about changing the culture?
Oh, indeed. And we did make significant cultural changes. But again, it's a process. And something that's been entrenched since the 1930s doesn't change overnight. And I will stand on the record that no one has brought more change more quickly to the band in their time than I have. And that is a testament to the students. And that is a testament to the philosophy that we used in shaping the culture, that the students, again, recognized that there was a need to change. They owned the issue, and they themselves changed that issue for the better.
My guest is Jonathan Waters, former OSU Marching Band director. Tryouts start today for the OSU Marching Band. He will not be there for them since the administration fired him after a two-month investigation into the culture of the band. We'll continue our conversation. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides. I'm your host, Ann Fisher, and joining me in the studio, Jonathan Waters, former OSU Marching Band director, still wants his job back, even though the university has said absolutely he will not get his job back. So, Jonathan Waters, what do you do? What is your plan going forward from here regarding your job?
You know, the crux of the matter is having an open conversation. Since there was, I believe, such a rush to judgment, and since the Ohio State Marching Band has meant so much to this community, since our students have given over 5,000 hours last year in community service alone. And again, that was another one of our culture-shaping exercises. Since we have had such a wonderful history here, and the band has meant so much to the community, that I think the university owes us an open and honest conversation. And
have you requested a conversation with them?
Every time that we've done a media interview.
Heard any response back from them?
Unfortunately not.
Would you sue the university to make your point?
I don't want to sue Ohio State. I love Ohio State. I love those students. I love the program. I love the alums. I love my colleagues, whom I was very close with when I worked at Ohio State. And so I don't want it to come to that.
Were you given an opportunity to resign as opposed to being fired?
I was.
And you wouldn't do it?
No, I wouldn't resign because I felt that I did nothing wrong. In fact, contrary to that, I felt that I tremendously changed the culture. And it's not about me. This is really not about me. I seem to have been pulled into the center because
you were canned. Lost your job.
Right. And but this is about the students, and it's about their reputations. You know, our students use the fact that they were in the marching band to gain admission to graduate schools, to get first jobs, to open the door, and people and employers and society recognize the value, especially of being in the Ohio State University marching band. Yet now these students' reputations and the reputations of the alumni are tarnished by this report. These students, I think, moving forward, can't put this on their resume proudly because it's got this cloud around it. And I'm here to set that record straight and to ask the university for an open and honest evaluation of the culture. I want to be as open and transparent as we have been with our students all the time that we've done culture shaping. And so with our university and with our great administrators and the great team that's around the Ohio State University, we need and we owe it to our students to come together and to pick up the shattered remains after this report has done its damage and move forward. We need to look at the culture. They need to, I think, look at a cross-section of the band members. They need to speak to band members who were in the transitional time between my predecessor's leadership and my leadership. And those people can speak directly to the changes that we've made as a group. The senior leadership in the band right now can talk about those changes. And so I want students who are freshmen to be interviewed about their experience thus far. I want students who are seniors to be interviewed about their longevity with
the band. Do you know if anybody else has been contacted in the course of this other review that is taking place now?
I don't. I don't know who has been contacted.
Have you heard from a lot of alumni and a lot of current student members?
I've heard, through social media and messaging, from many, many people who are very, very supportive.
John in Sunbury, you're on the air with Jonathan Waters. Hi, John.
Yeah, I think John's been in the wrong place at the wrong time when you had a change in administration. I've seen it in companies before where everything was going quite well until you had a change in administration and then heads fell. And I think that in the words of the gangs, the new president's probably interested in earning his bones.
Okay.
And the other thing is interesting that he has no comment whatsoever. He doesn't want to cause waves, but it'd be interesting to see what he really does think about
the thing. President Drake has commented on this. He did in some detail when the review was first made public. They just haven't commented since then. John, thanks a lot for that call. I wanted to just get to another call. Ed and Bexley, you're on the air. Hi, Ed.
Hi. I have two questions for mm-hmm. Jonathan. The first is, given what has happened, what has transpired since he took over, and especially since this report was made public, would he do anything? Would he have done a taken a different approach when he took over the band in terms of making a change to the culture?
That's a great question. Yeah, that's a tremendous question. Thank you for asking. You know, in hindsight, and hindsight being 2020, I can honestly say that I would not do anything differently. The culture shaping that we have undertaken and my methodology of doing such, I think, was working to tremendous result. And as I said, the evidence is there. The evidence that the university seeks is right in front of them in the 240 students that are in that band. And the evidence was on paper that I submitted that never made the report. The evidence of our change, though, is mostly found in the hearts and minds of the students. And, you know, we began this with this wonderful March to Pay Forward program with volunteerism, you know, 5,000 hours of community service. You know, the fact that we have a wonderful relationship with the Ohio State School for the Blind Marching Band. And last season, our band did Script Ohio to one sideline and to the home sideline. The Ohio State School for the Blind did a Braille Ohio complete with the dotting of the I in all of the Braille characters. This is true culture shaping, and this is the true face of the Ohio State Marching Band. And so I stand by all of the wonderful things that we have done as a team and done together to shape and change the culture and an entrenched culture. What is amazing about this, and also, you know, I'm sorry to interrupt,
no,
Dan,
okay.
What's amazing about this is that there was no... there was no edict given to me to change the culture. We as a team realized that aspects of the culture needed to change.
Nothing in your reviews,
no.
Your personnels, your evaluations over the years?
No. And what is more then is that, you know, I didn't know that there was a kind of a stopwatch running to change the culture. And so, you know, something that is as entrenched as this culture over decades and decades is something that needs to, you know, it takes a bit of time. It doesn't happen overnight. But I stand by actually the remarkable speed by which we were able to affect and change the culture positively.
Ed, thanks a lot for that call. We have a couple emails, one from Shane, who writes, if the university were truly concerned about this culture, they would have suspended the band. An email from Doug writes, I heard a commentator suggest that there were no emails of you reporting the Title IX issues to superiors. Is this true?
I'm not sure about an email trail, but I most certainly did report Title IX issues to superiors. I'm on record by doing that, and any of our staff can verify that, and anybody in the student conduct office can also verify that when a problem arose, which was dealing with students and student conduct, that we reported that issue indeed.
Email from James. In this day and age of total disclosure and social media scrutiny, how long did Mr. Waters and the OSU administration, for that matter, think this band tradition could continue? Also, I say shame on the public, the sacred Buckeyes, and the best damn band in the land that can do no wrong. If this behavior happened in the military or corporate world, heads would roll.
You know, that the fact that we are not hiding behind the responsibility that we have answers that question, I think. And it's a fair question. We indeed did shape the culture, and there is tremendous evidence of that. And so I stand by that, and our students, you know, the students are the direct evidence of our culture shaping, and the band is a better place because of it today.
Sharon in Toledo, you're on the air. Hi, Sharon.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, thank you.
I just want to say to Jonathan, we want to commend him for maintaining his dignity and taking the high road in spite of all of this. He's obviously been wronged, but yet he continues to support his band members, and he wants to be back in front of the best damn band in the land, and we want him back. He's constantly in our prayers. We hope that our prayers will open the eyes, the ears, and the hearts of those individuals who may have caused this. This is what we're hoping and praying for.
Thanks, Sharon, for the call. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
Has anyone else offered you a job? Have any other organizations reached out to you?
We're not to that point yet. And part of this is, in terms of, I guess, my future, clearing my name, and being able to, once again, if Ohio State is not in my future, to find other things that I can do. But that does not come without first clearing my name and the reputations of the students and the alumni.
Sarah from Columbus, you're on the air. I understand that you're in another college marching band?
No, I was. So okay. I grew up in Ohio, and I moved to the West Coast for school.
Uh-huh.
And I was a part of a band while I was at university there. And now I'm back for grad school. But I wanted to call and say that I think some of what Jonathan Waters is facing is unfortunate, because none of the parts of the report listed as band culture are actually unique to OSU's marching band. When I was in marching band on the West Coast, all of those traditions exist also in the band that I was a part of.
How did you feel about that? Did they bother you?
No. I will say there were some things that were very borderline. I think a lot of that, though, depends on personality. Some things that were fine for me were probably not fine for other people.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, no. Like, we did, my section in particular was known for giving nicknames. Some of them were very dirty. Mine happened to not be, because it told a story of how I started band.
What was your nickname?
My nickname is Earmuffs.
Okay.
Like from the movie Old School.
Okay.
Where if somebody was saying something bad or being rude, I would try to tell them to stop because I didn't like it. So I was sort of the one trying to keep them PC. So I got the nickname Earmuffs, like cover your ears. We're going to say something bad.
All right. Well, Sarah, thanks a lot for the call.
Of course. Thank you.
Take care.
Thanks.
Bye.
When I asked you if someone else had offered you a job, you said, we're not there yet. Does that mean, yes, they have, but you're not considering it, or no, they haven't?
It's tough to move on from here.
Okay.
And I love Ohio State.
So,
picturing myself at a different university now, or a different, job in music education is not something that I can do easily. The fact remains that there's too much work to be done here.
Would you want to go back if the administration felt like it was pressured to put you back? What are the circumstances by which you would go back?
You know, I think that I am uniquely qualified now, perhaps, to put the pieces back together in the wake of this report, to try to bring the alumni together, to try to bring our students together, and our wonderful university and administration. Everyone makes mistakes. We are only human. My goodness, every day of my life, I make mistakes. And I'm just a humble servant of these great students in this great university. What I want right now is just for everybody to take a breath, take a step back and say, this report was indeed flawed. I mean, we see it. Something new happens every day. Somebody, I think we mentioned before, came out yesterday and said that their words were not taken, verbatim, and their story was not accurately reported by this report. It's further information. And so the decision clearly was made by this report. But because the report has been so discredited, I think they owe it to all of us to just take a step back and open a conversation and have a dialogue. And again, for what the band has meant to this community and for so many people over the years, that's, I think, the least that we can do. And I think I can be part of that process. I think that the rush to judgment here was something that, was unfortunate. And there seemed to be kind of an artificial timeline, certain rules in Title IX that they thought they were following. But I think there were other options, I think that we just owe it to our students and our community to take a step back. And as I said before, the bitter irony here is that I have been a culture reformer, and our staff and our team and our students have made tremendous strides in reforming a culture in the band, and the band is a better place today because of it.
Thanks for joining us today. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Anne.
Jonathan Waters, former OSU marching band director, fired recently because of the results of a report that suggested a culture of sexualization in the OSU marching band. Tryouts start today. John Waters won't be there, but I'm sure the story will continue. Thanks for listening. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.